Remember the Christmases of your childhood? You were surrounded by twinkling lights, Christmas carols, mangers, candy canes, gifts, excitement, and most of all, hope. We enjoy returning to these symbols and pieces of the Christmas story as we remember the most important part of Christmas, Jesus' birth. We believe that the presence of Jesus in our lives means that hope doesn't have to come around only once a year, because he came to be the hope of the world. Join us at Northgate this Christmas season for a message series called Vintage Christmas.
I'm Pastor Vern. It's good to have you here tonight. We love celebrating Christmas Eve, Christmas every year. It's a highlight for us as a staff to be here with you. And this service in particular, I know that when I came back to Northgate four and a half years ago, the staff begged me to do this service, okay, because we weren't doing it at the time, and they begged me. They said, please, if you do nothing else, we need to have an 11 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. And I said, all right, let me go and check with my wife and see if it's okay with her. And she said, I guess. And so here we are. No, actually, they were gracious. It's something that comes from the tradition that Deb and I come from. We've been attending 11 o'clock services for decades. And when we came back to Batavia, there just didn't happen to be one here at that time. And I said, well, you know, let's do this. And so we appreciate you all coming out to it, because you are the validation that this is a good thing to do. And the reason we do this is because when we finish this service, it will be midnight, and it will be Christmas Day. And you will walk out of this church tonight, and you will be celebrating the actual day of the celebration of Jesus' birth. So that's why we do 11 to midnight. Thank you for coming. Jim Croce. How many of you know the name Jim Croce? Okay, a few of you. If you do know the name, you might know it because of a couple of his number one hits. Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Anybody? Don't start. Okay, good. I like the spirit. Bad, Bad Leroy Brown was one of his number one hits. He had another one, Time in a Bottle. The interesting thing about Time in a Bottle, it hit number one after Jim Croce died. Jim Croce died in a tragic plane accident at the age of 30. I think it was 1973, if I'm right. I think that's when it was. And the thing is, he was just beginning to get some notice. He was just beginning to be known as a singer-songwriter. And he was still doing some small concerts and in some small venues, and he had been to one very small venue. In fact, I guess it was very sparsely attended, but he was there and played. And he was on his way home that night, he and a few other people in a chartered plane, and the plane crashed, and they all perished in that accident. The irony is that just as he was getting to be known, the last song that he ever sang here was I've Got a Name. I've Got a Name. It's one of my favorite Jim Croce songs. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's I'm not going to sing it all the way through, but like a pine tree whining. Now I lost the lyric. Anyway, I've Got a Name is the part that just always really resonates with me, and this is why it resonates with me. The song is a simple song, but it's a song about the fact that each of us are individuals. Each of us have the right to dignity. We have the right to stand up for ourselves, not in a prideful way that the Bible warns us against, but in a way that recognizes I'm a person and I deserve to be known as an individual and as a person. I've got a name, and I shouldn't be a nobody in this world, and I shouldn't go through this world unknown by people. There should be people who know who I am and all that I have been created to be. So there's a whole lot. I get kind of lost in thinking about the meaning of the lyrics sometimes. But that song has always meant a lot to me. Names matter to us, don't they? Your name matters to you. I met somebody. I was out shopping this week, and I walked past somebody from our church, and I said, "Hi, Jean," and she said, "Hi, Pastor Vern." And I kept walking, and about 10 yards down the walk, I realized that's not Jean. Her name is Debbie. And she came to one of the early services tonight, and she came in smiling, and she said, my name is Debbie. And I said, I know, and I realized that like 10 yards down the way. I do that all the time. I've probably done it to half of the people here in this room. I've messed up your name at some point. And when I do that, you probably, some of you are like, oh man, I wish he knew my name. Because names matter to us, right? Names do matter to us. Parents, expectant parents, maybe we have someone here tonight, will spend hours searching for the right name for their child, right? We'll spend more time looking, trying to find the right name for our baby than we do putting together the baby furniture that child is going to live in for a couple of years, right? We just spend all of this time trying to come up with the right name for our child. By the way, I did look up some of the most common baby names for you. Emma and Jackson are a couple of very common baby names right now. Sophia and what was the other one? Sophia and Noah are another. So if you are having a baby, I've just saved you a whole lot of work. If you want a common baby name, you can take one of those. Or you can come up with your own. Now, we not only pick our baby's first name, but most of us have a middle name, at least one middle name. Some people have more than one. We spend maybe as much time coming up with that name. I once thought about going by my middle name, and I'll tell you why. The name Vernon, it's just not that easy a name to carry through life. It's not that well known, okay? In fact, on a list of the top 1,000 baby names today, the most popular 1,000 baby names, it doesn't even make the list. The closest I could find was 2,561 on Baby Center, okay? Vernon made it to 2,561, and the problem is I was born in the wrong time, because back in 1920, Vernon made it all the way to number 65, okay? So if I had just been born in 1920, I would have been a lot more popular than I was being born in 1957. But what I thought, at one point, I seriously thought I might go by my middle name, Charles. Because Charles is a lot more common than Vernon. Charles actually is ranked 133, so at least it makes the list, right, of the most common baby names. But I'm getting sidetracked on this whole business of names, and I can tell by your puzzled looks that the 7 o'clock service was a lot more in tune with me, but I think it's just the time. I'm not blaming you. So I'm just going to move on to my next illustration here, which is a man who had the longest name according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Okay? This was his name. Adolph Blaine Charles David Earl Frederick Gerald Hubert Irvin John Kenneth Lloyd Martin Nero Oliver Paul Quincy Randolph Sherman Thomas Uncas Victor William Xerxes Yancey Wolf Schlegelsteinhausen Bergerdorf Sr. Okay? He actually was in the Guinness Book of World Records at one time. He's from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, and he was in that for having the longest name. He's since shortened it to Mr. Wolf plus 585 Senior. I think 585 is how many letters are in the rest of his name. So here's the thing. Even so, Adolf does not come close to how many names Jesus Christ has. Okay? I mean, let's get to it, right? This is Christmas Eve. And all this business about names, what has that got to do with Christmas Eve? Well, here's the thing. One scholar has said that there are something like 700 names or titles that refer to Jesus Christ in the Bible. I did not check them all out, all right? But I can tell you for a fact that there are at least several hundred. He thinks there's 700. I can tell you that there's at least several hundred names or titles that refer to Jesus Christ. We've been looking at some of them over this past 4 weeks of Advent. Some that we didn't look at, but that Jesus is known by. He was known as the Nazarene. He was known as Rabbi. He was known as the Lamb of God. Nazarene identifies where Jesus came from. He came from the town of Nazareth. In fact, one of the people who became his followers, when he learned that, his remark was, nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth. Jesus overheard him say that, which is kind of comical to me, but he was from Nazareth and called the Nazarene. He was called Rabbi by people who looked at him as their teacher. He was called the Lamb of God. Lamb of God refers to the fact that at that time people were sacrificing lambs as an expression of their desire to repent of their sins. The lamb took the punishment that the people knew they deserved for their sinfulness, and they were sacrificing these lambs in their stead. Well, Jesus became our sacrificial lamb. He became the sacrificial lamb for us, and so he's known as the Lamb of God because he gave his life to pay for our sins. Four of the titles that we looked at in this Advent series come from Isaiah 9, verse 6, and they are these: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We've already talked over the past month about Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let me talk for a minute about Mighty God. Jesus isn't just a cute little baby born to a poor carpenter and his wife about 2,000 years ago. That's not all that Jesus is, right? Jesus is the mighty God who created the stars, created the universe, created everything that exists. In fact, the irony here is that Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, and Jesus gave life to Mary and Joseph, okay? Jesus was born in a lot of people think, in a cave, okay, that served as a place for animals to be. Jesus created caves, okay? He created the earth. Jesus created everything that exists. The Magi came to worship Jesus, and they followed a star to do that. Who created the stars? Jesus did. Here's the thing that is mysterious to us, and you may be puzzled even as I'm saying this. How could the baby do all of that? Well, because Jesus always existed. Jesus is mighty God. Okay, this prophecy from Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6 is a prophecy about Jesus, and it refers to the fact that Jesus has always existed as mighty God. What we're celebrating at Christmas is that God allowed himself to be born as a human being and to come into this world. But he has always existed, and we lose significant things when we forget that Jesus is the mighty God. The people that followed him when he ministered here on the earth, they knew this. They came to know it anyway because they saw, for example, they saw how he commanded nature. You know, perhaps the story of how he calmed the winds down and took this terrible gale and drove it down to nothing. Okay, so that the seas became calm. Jesus had complete command over nature. Only God has complete command over nature. They stood by while Jesus' enemies accused him of blasphemy. Part of the reason they accused Jesus of blasphemy or claiming to be God is because Jesus forgave sins, and they knew only God could forgive sins. Jesus had no right to forgive sins, but Jesus went about forgiving people's sins because Jesus was mighty God. One of his followers, Thomas, he didn't believe that Jesus was God. Even after the resurrection, Thomas didn't believe it until Jesus stood before him after his resurrection and showed him the nail prints in his hands, and Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." Thomas came to believe, just like Jesus' brothers came to believe when they didn't prior to his death and resurrection. Jesus' followers saw him give life to the dead. I'll bet Lazarus never doubted after his rebirth from the dead that Jesus was God. People would fall down on their knees and worship Jesus, and Jesus never stopped them from doing that because he was God and he deserved their worship. Actually, the worship of Jesus began before he ever was walking about doing his ministry. The worship of Jesus began when he was still in the womb of his mother Mary. And she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with Jesus' cousin. And when Mary approached Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt the baby in her womb. She said it leaped for joy. And that we take as an expression of worship of the baby in Mary's womb. Mary immediately went into song, worshiping God for what was happening at that time. The shepherds came to worship the baby Jesus. The Magi came, as I said, to worship the baby Jesus. He was worshiped as a baby in the temple courts by Simeon and Anna. Jesus is the mighty God. He is the mighty God who's responsible for holding all of creation together. He exists outside of time. The Bible says in Colossians that Jesus created everything that is, everything. And if Jesus could somehow stop existing, everything that we see in this universe would fall apart because he holds it all together. He is the mighty God. He's also called the Word of God. John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." These words come to us by way of John, one of Jesus' closest friends as he walked the earth. John, inspired by God, gave him this title, the Word of God. You know, when someone wants to know what you think about them or how you feel or what your plans are, those kinds of things, they listen to your words or they read your words. You communicate to them through your words. When God wanted us to know what he was feeling about us and what he wanted for us and what his plans were for us, he wanted to communicate that in an unmistakable way. He sent his son Jesus to be that communication for the world. And so John calls him the Word. He's God's last word about God himself, about us, and about eternity and our futures. At one time, God spoke his word through prophets. He would choose a man or a woman, and he would speak a word through them, and they would share it with others. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus is the last word. In the past, it says God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus is sitting down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven is something like the modern mic drop, okay? Because when Jesus died on that cross for our sins and then was resurrected, he gave final instructions to his disciples, then he ascended to heaven, and it's as if he dropped the mic and said, "Now you have everything that you need to know about God and how God feels about you and what God's plan is for this world." Jesus is mighty God. He is the Word of God. And of course, he is Jesus, right? This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This name Jesus is a Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. You see, a lot of people in Jesus' day were naming their sons Jesus after Joshua. Why? Because Joshua was a great leader of the Jewish people. Do you remember the story? Moses was dying and he passed his leadership on to Joshua at the edge of the promised land. Moses had brought the people to the edge of it. It was going to be Joshua's responsibility to lead the people into it so that they could claim this place that God had promised to them, a place of rest and a place of blessing, a place where they would have all of their needs taken care of and they could just rest in a land that they could call their own. It was Joshua's responsibility, and he fulfilled that responsibility. He was obedient to God, and he took the people in. He was a great, great leader. And the people in Jesus' day were looking for another great leader, someone to rise up and take charge and kick the Romans out of their land so that they could have it back again, and they could have their peace, and they could have their rest, and they could be themselves again. And so they would name their baby boys Jesus after Joshua, in the hopes that one of them might be that leader. The name Jesus, Joshua, it means God saves. God saves. God saves us is the idea. Jesus came to save us like Joshua was appointed to save the Israelites from their experiences in the wilderness. Jesus came to save us. He came to save us not from slavery to other Egyptians or people, but he came to save us from our slavery to sin, the Bible tells us. Jesus came to lead us into a place where we could rest, where we don't have to struggle anymore with the feelings of not being significant, or feelings of not having a strong enough identity or a purpose in this world. Jesus came to save us from those wilderness wanderings that we find ourselves in. He came to take us into the place of rest and blessing. You know, the name of Jesus is a lightning rod. And if you want to test that out, you can just go ahead this week and begin to have conversations with people about Jesus. And some people will resonate with you, and they'll say, "Oh, I love Jesus." And others will look at you quizzical and go, why do you even concern yourself with this Jesus?" And some people might even get angry with you for bringing up the name Jesus. Back in the time of the followers of Jesus, that was a pretty common reaction. Peter was arrested for talking about Jesus. He was thrown in jail. And the leaders let him out under one condition. Don't mention the name of Jesus anymore. Don't be telling people about Jesus. And Peter said to them, basically, do what you want, throw me in jail if you must, but I will not stop telling people about Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who can save us. And so I'm going to continue to share with people what I know about Jesus. Mighty God, the Word of God, Jesus, and one more, Emmanuel. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. On Christmas Eve, maybe there's no greater title regarding Jesus than this one, Emmanuel. We first come across this name in Isaiah 7:14, where a prophecy is given about Jesus' birth. It's quoted here by Matthew. It's the prophecy that God is going to come and live among us and be with us. And God has come to be with us. That's the great story of Christmas. That's really why we're here tonight, because God has come. And in Jesus, God will never leave us alone. He promises us that. In all of our struggles, in our good times, our hard times, our rejoicing, our sadness, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Right here, right now, in this place, God with us. And if we will let him be, God with us personally. Because Jesus said, if you will trust me with your life and turn that over to my keeping, then I'll always be with you. Wherever you are, I will be with you through my Spirit. T.O. Chisholm wrote hundreds of poems. One of them became a hymn that's very well known, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But he also wrote a poem that's a lot less well known, and it's called Emmanuel. I want to share it with you as we wrap this up tonight. Of all the names the Savior bears, and each becomes him well, one has peculiar charm for me, his name Emmanuel. God with us, now and forevermore. God with us, all is well. His name we worship and adore, his name Emmanuel. 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 God come from heaven with men to dwell. Our human life he entered in, to share our sorrows, bear our sin. Oh, precious name, Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Word of God, Emmanuel, the Nazarene Rabbi, Lamb of God, Jesus. They're all terrific names by which we know him. There's one name I hope all of you will know him by, and it's the name Savior. Savior. The one who died so that by faith in him, your sins are forgiven, your life is protected, your eternity is assured. Savior. I pray that you know him as Savior tonight. you join me in prayer?
Thanks for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk with Jesus Christ. For more resources, visit our website at northgatefmc.com or download the Northgate app. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.